The following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
The United States Coast Guard.
On this Veterans Day, we here at Central honor those who have served in our nation's armed forces. You have our gratitude and admiration for all you've done to maintain the precious privilege of liberty. Your gifts to us merit our abiding recognition for preserving the freedoms we all enjoy as we pursue our vital existence. A horned salute to you who are Legion. Hail to our veterans! Shamham Porash! Hail Satan!
Welcome to the official Infernal Legion podcast. It is Veterans Day! I'm your host, Reverend Jeff Bolin, commander of the Infernal Legion, and I'm very happy to be here to celebrate our biggest day as the Legion. It is our birthday, 7 years of the Infernal Legion, and it is the day where we honor and celebrate veterans of all wars, all branches, and all time periods in the United States of America. And in order to have our annual Veterans Day extravaganza, I have to have my panel. So please help me welcome, back from a very long hiatus from the show, the communications officer for the Infernal Legion, Reverend Jeff Ivins, is in the house. Jeff, how are you, brother?
Just getting my shit together.
Really glad to have you back, man. Your voice opens up every episode, but nobody's heard from you.
Well, yeah, that's true.
All right, and also join us in the third chair is none other than the director of special activities and co-founder of the Infernal Legion, the dancing comedic machine himself, Satanist Raul Atando. Raul, how are you, brother?
Muchísimas gracias, Reverend Jeff Bowling. Muchas gracias por tenerme. Thank you so much. And it's true, Jeff Ivan's voice is getting much more broader and introspection.
he's gonna cover us in his velvety tones.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're gonna hear it later in the show. Be sure to check out Reverend Ivan's podcast, The Metro, right here on Radio Free Satan. All right, gentlemen, Veterans Day. It comes around every year, and every year it's an exciting thing. As I've been doing every year for the last couple of years, I go out, put on my Infernal Legion garb, and I join the other veteran service organizations in my local community. We march over to the Veterans Memorial Park, and we have a big ceremony there, you know, pose for pictures and kiss babies and go our separate ways and get all the free food at Applebee's and Buffalo Wild Wings and such.
Right.
What are you guys doing for Veterans Day?
7-8 in the morning, we're going to be linking up with me and my my buddy. Shout out to my Marine veteran. He's one of my best friends, Nate Clifton. He, me and him are runners, and I'm going to be holding our United States Army flag, and
cool. He'll
be the United States Marine Corps flag, and we're going to be running with and around the parade itself.
Oh, wow. All right. You're going to be like road guards for the parade.
Sure.
That's kind of fun. How big is the parade usually?
The parade lasts. We go kind of slow on purpose. That way everybody can get their shake hands or handshakes or high fives. Throw maybe some, I don't know if we've outlawed throwing candy to the kids on the side of the street. But
parents, please check your candy for bayonets.
Yeah.
Small grenades. It's at least 30 minutes. A decent size. So the election and then Veterans Day, there's going to be a ton of people here in Yuma, especially because we are a massive, massive veteran and military community with YPG, Yuma Proving Ground, and Marine Corps Air Station. And this is, we have an area where Special Forces are our area here where they train in Halo. They get their Halo out here. So we have
also have Fort Huachuca down there, the home of military intelligence.
There's two words that you combine that don't make sense.
Right, the oxymoron that is military intelligence.
Yes, and that's coming from somebody that's used to dealing with that.
But me and Nate, as well as a few other veteran runners, will be running in and around the parade.
So you got you and Nate carrying the Army and Marine Corps, but you're going to have other vets carrying the other branches' flags, or they're just going to be running with you?
No, they'll more than likely be running all of the branches, as well as a few other veterans that will probably be running with us as well. We got quite a few runners here in New York.
Awesome. That sounds awesome, man.
I'm apt.
Make sure you do your stretches beforehand, hydrate, and don't forget to take your Ranger candy. What about you, Ivans? What are you up to, man?
Actually, I just moved out of the Leesburg, Florida area. They were going to be having a Veterans Day parade. I was going to go to it, but I'm in Georgia now, and there's supposed to be the town next to where I'm at supposed to be having a parade. I'll probably show up down there wearing one of my military garb shirts and stuff like that. So, but other than that, it just, to me, it's always a reflective time for me.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because, I mean, the military, and, you know, we've talked about it before, but I don't think it could be stressed enough. The military has a lifetime effect on people who serve in it. And often, in a lot of cases, we devote a very significant chunk of our life to the military, but also during a very formative time of our life. So when most kids are, either going to college or going straight into the workforce. That's the same age bracket of people who are serving in the military. You know, I think it's smart to sit back, especially on a day like Veterans Day, even for just a moment and go, all right, let me take inventory of my life and what I've done here, you know, because it sounds conceited, right? But fuck it. We're Satanists. We did shit they make video games about.
Yeah. <You know?
laughs> That's wild to think about. There's movies and books and video games and articles about stuff that we were doing, that all veterans were doing at this very formative time in their lives. So sitting back and reflecting on it, I think, is definitely a smart thing to do.
Oh, yeah. And I do that every military holiday. I always reflect, you know, like Memorial Day, I reflect on those that have passed.
Yeah. What about the free shit, though? I mean, that's what we really signed up for. Right? You signed up for the free food and the free drinks. And
well, there's a couple places out in Florida I know where to go to get the free shit. I'm out in the boonies here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the town, downtown Collins is about 7 miles from where I'm at. The city next to us, Reidsville, you know, it's kind of like they really don't have much there.
Which is funny because Georgia is a big military state as well. Like we were talking about Arizona, but yeah, there's Fort Benning, Fort Stewart.
I think they still have NAS Atlanta. Which is up in, and then,
there's a Coast Guard base too, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah. And not only that, but they also, you have, Kings Bay, Georgia sub base and stuff like that. So, and there's up by Macon, there's a Air Force base.
Yeah. So there's a lot of military presence in Georgia. You'd think that there would be more, messaging about where to go, but for any of you veterans out there listening who still haven't decided where you're going to go, if you go to the VA website, they have a pretty comprehensive list of all the businesses that are offering special discounts and stuff for Veterans Day. And I've kind of gone through phases with this in my life, and you guys tell me what you think. But when I first got out of the military, I was all about the free stuff, right? I was like, oh, you're going to give me 10% off headlights at AutoZone or, you know, a free cheeseburger at Applebee's, I'm all in. And I'll wait in this line for 10 hours or whatever it takes to get in there and get it. And then I kind of went through like a cynical part where I was like, you know, this is all bullshit. And, you know, they're just throwing a dog a bone and I don't want to partake in it. And now I think I've finally settled in where I'm kind of like in the middle of that. Like, yeah, it's a lot of bone throwing, but at the same time, if I happen to be around a Dunkin' Donuts or something, I'll grab a free coffee.
Yeah.
whoa, what's that? That's our lovely and furry co-host, Reverend Dwayne Burns, just joined the chat. Dwayne, how are you, brother?
I'm good. A little masturbation accident again, huh?
Oops. We gotta tie his arms down, guys.
I know, you got to. It keeps slipping every so often.
Well, Dwayne, we were just talking about what we're going to do for Veterans Day, man. Do you have any plans?
Cooking.
You're going to cook? Oh, what are you making?
I haven't decided yet. I got a prime rib in the freezer, and I've got just some regular steaks. I haven't decided if I'm going to go rib it or if I'm going to just cook steaks. Depends on who comes.
We need to, that'll be the next big project for the Infernal Legion. We'll release the Infernal Legion's Guide to Barbecue. Yeah, so lots of stuff going on for Veterans Day all around the country. Obviously, there is, I guess you could call it government-level rituals that happen on Veterans Day as well. And most of those are broadcast live on the various channels, whether it be like the president's social media channel or like the Department of Defense or the Pentagon. They'll broadcast this stuff. So I usually will share it to like the Infernal Legion channels, but I don't know if you guys are like me, but I kind of don't sit through a lot of the government pageantry Veterans Day stuff. I do it for Memorial Day. I will sit and watch the president's speech for Memorial Day and see the ritual at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But for Veterans Day, I just kind of tune it out. Are you guys like me?
Yeah, I do. I tune a lot of shit out.
I will be tuning out a bunch of shit.
We'll talk about that later.
Hey, Raul, you want to go over here? You want to go over there? That's the bitch. I just want to go to Texas Roadhouse, eat some steak, smoke a joint afterward, maybe have a shot of tequila, hanging out with some fellow veterans, talking about going to Mets before I shot over to Fort Benning, Georgia, before I shot over to Korea, before I shot over to Iraq, and just talk about that. But I don't, I appreciate it, but I don't want 25 people shaking my hand saying thank you for this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know that's coming. The multitude of thank you for your service.
I went to the store and some woman thanked me for my service. Wow. You can say I'm wearing one of my pro-military shirts, and I also had my Navy hat on, so.
To be fair, I think we all kind of do it to an extent, right? Like, we all change our profile picture to a picture of us in our uniform. We invite the bullshit, and maybe just so we can be cynical about it when it comes in. We're a little hypocritical that way.
Yeah.
Just because we're wearing the costume doesn't necessarily, I mean, we get, I'll shake them. Fine. Shake.
Yeah. It's important for us to also remember we all have, you know, our battle buddies or shipmates from the time we were in the service. And as much as Veterans Day is a day for celebration and remembering what we accomplished and some of our experiences, it, just like Memorial Day, can be a very dark time for our brothers and sisters in arms.
Absolutely.
And there's no better day to reach out to your old battle buddies, your old shipmates, and check on them. Because some of them may not be doing okay. All right, guys. So, hey, let's take a quick break and hear from some of our sponsors. And I'll come back. Let's talk about the history of Veterans Day, how we got here, why we're celebrating this day, and what it came from. Stay tuned right here on the official Infernal Legion podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Pando Commando. Founded by veterans of the Army's 10th Mountain Division, Pando Commando is your source for the best veteran gear on the market. Pando Commando specializes in military-themed caps, clothing, and even coffee. Pando Commando is 100% owned and operated by veterans of the United States Armed Forces. Visit pandocommando.com for more information.
Hello, everyone. This is Blanche Barton, and I just want to thank all of our members out there for their service. You know, we've always had military people in the organization, going all the way back to the beginning to our founding members, including Mr. Olson, who was our first satanic funeral. And his widow insisted that he would want a satanic funeral. And we've always had Satanists in the military, I think because of our strong sense of justice and service. And I just appreciate so much that Satanists apply the philosophy in that way. I think it's very appropriate. And I just appreciate you being out there very, very much. And thank you. And hail Satan.
Hello, everybody. This is Reverend Jimmy Psycho, veteran of the United States Army. I just wanted to take a moment to thank all veterans, past, present, and future, for your service and commitment to our country. It's always appreciated and never taken for granted. I wish you all well in the coming year. Many thanks, many hails, and ever forward.
Yeah. Infernal greetings. JLH here. We Satanists are a special breed of our species. We understand there is no life eternal. We live in the here and now. We believe in vital existence and only seek that which gives us earthly pleasure and reward. Satanic veterans are the elite amongst our kind. They understand that only vital existence will bring true joy, and they choose to serve others for a very carnal good. Our veterans did not join to serve an office or some weak religion. They joined to serve a cause, because freedom for all is better than oppression for all. The right to choose is better than living as a slave. Every man and woman who wishes to be exalted should have a right to fight. Hail the Church of Satan. Hail the United States of America. And hail the men and women who choose to fight for what they believe is right. Happy Veterans Day.
This episode is brought to you by Duffel Blog. Read in the Pentagon and around the world, since 2012, Duffel Blog has been the most trusted news source for the American military. Duffel Blog is the first and only satire newsletter devoted to the United States military community. Visit duffelblog.com for more information.
Welcome back to the official Infernal Legion podcast. We are having our annual Veterans Day extravaganza. And I do want to get into the history of Veterans Day and where it comes from. But before we do that, Raul had a really good idea about a month ago to start including a segment on the podcast where we give some real-time actionable tips on things veterans to do to improve their situation. And so I thought that we would do the very first installment of this with the most basic part of veteran care, and that is getting a veteran ID card. So let's head over to the VA website to a page entitled How to Apply for a Veteran ID Card. They've changed the process now. It's all digital. Everything is digital about the VIC. Most of us have the little white with the American flag card on it, the old VIC. But those are all digital now. Now, if you still have the plastic one, you can still use that. That's still valid everywhere, assuming it doesn't expire. I found out recently that ones issued in the last, 4 years have expiration dates on them. So I found that interesting because mine doesn't have an expiration date on it. But I also got mine 15 years ago or whatever.
Right.
So you're going to want to do this through the VA website, and it's got a bunch of checklists. Are you eligible? You know you're eligible if you were discharged from the military, active duty, reserves, National Guard, including Coast Guard, doesn't matter, and you received an honorable or discharge. As long as you're not dishonorable, bad conduct, you know, you don't have the big chicken dinner, or dishonorable, or other than honorable, you qualify for a veteran ID card. Then what you're going to do is you're going to sign in to your ID.me or similar website that's supported by the VA, and you're going to fill out the application. They're going to ask for your Social Security number, a copy of your current government-issued ID, driver's license, passport, state-issued ID card, something like that, and a digital scan of your DD-214 or equivalent paperwork for whatever. And then you're going to need to include essentially a passport photo. And the instructions on how to do that are on the VA website, but you can also just go to the post office and get that done. And then you just hit submit. It's free. There's no charge here if you're approved, and you will be as long as you have a DD 214 that says honorable on it. You're going to be approved. They'll send you the ID card. Now, like I said, this is all digital now, so it's going to come to your email. Because they've changed the process for the VIC, the Veteran ID card, there is now a separate card called the Veteran Health Identification Card for those who enrolled in VA healthcare. These two IDs, for everything outside of the healthcare system, are interchangeable. Doesn't matter which one you use. You can use your healthcare ID to get a discount at Applebee's, or you can use your regular Veteran ID card. But in order to access VA healthcare, you have to have the Health Identification Card. And there's a whole nother process for that, which involves going to a VA medical center, bringing in all this paperwork and stuff, and it's all done in person. That is a physical card. So there is that whole process has to take place in person, and you have to enroll into the VA healthcare system in order to get that ID. Now, does any of this matter? Well, the VA healthcare card matters if you're enrolled in the VA health system. But if you just want an ID that says, hey, I'm a veteran, you don't have to get the veteran ID card through the VA. You can just go to your state DMV or BMV or whatever it's called in your area and get the military endorsement on your driver's license or state ID card. And all you have to do that is, in addition to the other paperwork that you would normally bring in to get your driver's license or your state ID card, bring a copy of your DD-214 or equivalent paperwork with you. It's pretty much as simple as that across the board. All 50 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico all have that process. Now, they may ask for some additional things. They may want you to mail a copy to a certain place. That depends on the state. But for the most part, it's you bring that paperwork in when you get your driver's license or your state ID card, and they'll walk you through the process from there. And then when you get your ID, and I'm sure all you gentlemen have this, down on your driver's license, it will say either like Armed Forces, Military, or Veteran. It'll say something like that on there. And that works just as well as the Veteran ID card. It doesn't work for the healthcare system, but we already discussed that. So that's how you get a veteran ID card.
So the more that you go to your CBOC CDOC, community-based outpatient clinic, and you just start tapping into these resources, the more resources that you're going to have when you need them. Because you might say, I don't really need all this right now. Well, you don't need it right now. You might need it later on down the line when you need a grant, when you need anything, on the VA home loan, so many resources. A lot of people don't even know what service connection means. You get out of the VA and everything around you, all the resources around you, what you put into it.
And that's kind of what this little segment is going to be. And on our next Sinister Scuttlebutt episode, I think we're going to talk about how to connect with the VSO in your county. That's going to be our next tip. So next Sinister Scuttlebutt episode. So let's jump back into our topic at hand and talk about the history of Veterans Day. Because the history of Veterans Day starts with World War I.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us, for we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might! Our allegiance is with thee! Cursed are they! The God adorers! And cursed are the worshippers of the Nazarene eunuch.
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
World War I, also known as the Great War, ended in an armistice on November 11th, 1918, the 11th hour of the 11th month of the 11th day. Or 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And Armistice Day, since then, was recognized pretty much around the world as specifically to show respect to veterans of World War I. And around the world, it is still, some of our veterans, who you'll hear from in a bit, some of our Legionnaires, still honor Armistice Day. And you'll hear some of them talk about that. There's a lot of ceremonies and stuff like that in places like the UK and Canada and France. But here in the United States, well, there was World War II, and our government, our people, decided that Armistice Day wasn't going to cut it anymore. So around the time of the Korean War, they introduced the idea of Veterans Day, and it shifted from being a remembrance of the cessation of combat in World War I and an honoring of veterans who fought in World War I to a day where we honor all veterans. It's gone through a few changes over the years. The day was changed for a little bit of time. That didn't last very long. People didn't like that. So in the United States, we celebrate Veterans Day on November 11th every year, regardless of what day of the week it falls on. But the rest of the world still honors Armistice Day. It gets a little weird, and I had a thought about this year that I haven't really had before. In a sense, us celebrating Veterans Day on the same day as Armistice Day is a recognition of what a warlike country we are, right? I mean, it's not that we weren't the only country to be involved in World War II, like the rest of the world was as well. But at some point, we, as the United States of America, said, you know what? That wasn't the war to end all wars, because apparently we're going to start 50 more. So we need a day to honor all veterans. And I hate to put like a somber spin on Veterans Day, but doesn't it kind of seem like it's more of a celebration of the warlike nature of our country?
my case, I sit there and I take the George Carlin approach. You know, up until the 90s, when Desert Storm happened, we basically averaged a war every 10 years. Plus, our national anthem is the only one with that mentions rockets and bombs in the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are also one of the only countries who started with a violent revolution and have kind of grown from that instead of being overturned 20 or 30 times since that time. So it's kind of bred into us. And I floated this idea a couple of years back with Magister Campbell, who you guys will hear from in a little bit, about the warrior culture of the United States of America. But we really do have a very pervasive warrior culture in this country. And I don't know. It's just a thought that occurred to me before we recorded today. And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong having a warrior culture. I think there's a lot wrong with the amount of wars that we've been involved in, but that's a personal thing. And I'm sure my fellow vets have our own, those who have experienced war have different concepts about war than those who haven't. I think a military without a warrior culture is pretty ineffectual. Because you're not motivating those troops to do the things that we have to do. But I think it's really odd for a country that is so freedom-minded to have such a celebration of warfare that we take a day that was supposed to be memorializing the end of the greatest war in human history and say, no, fuck that. We're going to celebrate the warriors from all the wars we're going to start since the greatest war in history. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too cynical today. I don't know. What do you guys think?
There's nothing wrong with being cynical.
Nothing wrong with it.
It's just what is as it is, as we are.
That was actually deeply profound.
I know. Coming from you.
That kind of caught me off guard there.
Yeah, coming from you, small people. Come on.
They just are philosophers, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
That's true.
Give me a little credit, Jeff Bohm.
I give you a lot of credit, brother. Oh, speaking of giving you credit, you know, hey, let's shift gears real quick and go back to plugging our personal stuff. Tell everybody about your Tuesday Cumbia classes.
You know, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I've been asked between being a comedian and being a dancer. I became a dance performer before I became a dance instructor. My buddy, shout out to Commander Ben Nielsen, he asked me, he's like, hey, when are you going to start doing comedy again over at the VFW? And then it went from that comedy to dancing, like, hey, you're going to do salsa night? What are we going to do, man? We want you over here again. So I was like, okay. I just never thought of it as an avenue for really dancing, but more for comedy. Case in point, I started to teach cumbia dance. Cumbia started out of Colombia, is a national dance of Colombia.
So every Tuesday at the VFW in Yuma, you teach cumbia classes. You teach people how to do this dance.
Yes.
VFW Post 1763, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. local time, 1800 hours.
Yes, sir.
And there's a $10 cover. Right?
There is a nice, small $10 cover for an hour and a half of dance instruction that will help you with fitness, body tension, stress relief. You can come by yourself, it's solo, or you can do partner work, bring your wife, bring your husband, bring your gerbil, bring your cat, or you don't have to bring anybody.
Your gerbil.
There's a joke there somewhere.
That's for you, Ivan.
I've seen you dance before, Raul. Well, I think you might have a gerbil with you at all times.
Yeah, exactly. There's a joke.
Jeff Bowling.
That's pretty cool, man. And I'm going to try to make an effort to get that reminder up on our social media channels every Tuesday. So, yeah, anybody who happens to be – oh, is this open to the public or is it just veterans?
No, of course not. It's open to the public. Okay. I need all your money and everybody. It all jokes aside, it's nice to get paid for my art, but at the same time, it brings awareness to the VFW. You know, it's another hobby. No, not everybody just wants to go hike Telegraph Pass. Cumbia is it's known as kind of a bastard dance, unlike the bold salsa and bachata. I also teach salsa and bachata, but my specialty is in cumbia.
That's awesome, man. Stay tuned. after this quick commercial break, where we hear from our friends here at Radio Free Satan. And on the other end of that, we're going to talk about the big old fat red elephant in the room, right here on the official Infernal Legion podcast.
Greetings, Robert Shirley here from the Neutral Wisdom Podcast. I just wanted to take this opportunity to wish all military members on both sides of the border, at home and abroad, active and retired, a happy Veterans Day. And on behalf of all of us in the civilian world, thank you for your service.
Why start your mornings early when you can sleep in late and wake up later to a freshly brewed cup of Radio Free Satan? Radio Free Satan is infernally roasted with a complex taste to suit your indulgence. It's sinful. That's why it tastes great. So pour yourself another helping of this podcast and others at RadioFreeSatan.com.
Welcome to the Metro. Your host, Reverend Jeff Ivins, brings you a weekly time trip back to the 1980s with songs from the decade of decadence, only on Radio Free Satan. Hail Satan. I'm tired of listening to you talking.
My name is Warlock Rick Kohlmeyer. I am the Vice Commander of the Infernal Legion. I was asked what Veterans Day means to me. Well, Veterans Day means a lot of things. Historically, you know, it celebrates the end of World War I, originally known as Armistice Day. But it means a lot more than that, especially to veterans. The camaraderie that is felt between brothers and sisters when they graduate boot camp, when they are serving at duty stations, when they are doing anything in the military, is unlike any other friendship or relationship you'll ever experience. The sacrifices made by so many veterans that have gone ahead of us to pave the way for the military that we have today is more than can be expressed. I didn't go into the military for the same reasons that some others did. I didn't go in to get the relationship with my fellow military folk. I'd originally gone in for a paycheck, but I was very quickly shown that there is much more to the military than pay. When you're in the military, you know that you always have a team that has your back. You know that you're part of a team that has somebody else's back. No matter where you are in the military, no matter where you're stationed, no matter where you serve, we're all connected. We all come back to the United States. This is where our commands come from. This is where our leaders are. This is where we are all from. I was pretty aggravated when I got my first duty station because my C school got canceled. I was supposed to go submarines, but I ended up being part of a BRAC transfer from Millington, Tennessee down to Pensacola, Florida. I remember I was pretty pissed off because I was the first and only yeoman down in Naval Air Technical Training Center, Pensacola, for many months. The only other contact I had with yeomans were the chief and the head of petty officer up in Millington, Tennessee. It wasn't until they finally moved the command down there and I watched what it became that I felt like I was part of a huge team. Before that, I just felt like a guy who was stuck with a bunch of air traffic controllers and ET nukes bored out of his skull 10 and 12 hours a day. I am very thankful for the lessons that the military gave me. I am very thankful for the feeling of team and the kinship that's felt with my brothers and sisters. I'm very thankful for the training. I'm very thankful for many aspects of my military training. I'm also very thankful to have been part of the Infernal Legion. I have been with it since the beginning, and I'm proud to serve next to the men that I serve with every day for the Infernal Legion. I'm very thankful that this organization exists because until now, Satanists in the military did not have a voice, but now they do. I'd like to wish a happy Veterans Day to all my fellow veterans and all my military folk, and I'd like to thank you all for your service.
To many Americans, Veterans Day is yet one more day to celebrate commercialism and consumption. Consumption of durable goods with set lifespans, both manufactured and obsolete through upgrade. It's a day to get a percentage off on furniture or electronics. Perhaps even a free meal if you happen to be a family member of a veteran and spend your day with them, not in honor of their sacrifices, but to score a few morsels that you, in all probability, do not need. Veterans Day to many is the only time they even think about American soldiers. And for what? A fleeting moment? Soldiers are typically from lower to middle class households where military service is one of only a small handful of options for advancement and education. These are the Americans that are doing the fighting and dying on your behalf, and you spend less than a single day acknowledging them. Sure, you may change your social media profile picture for the day or tell a small handful of veterans that are in your social circles, thank you. But is that enough? Is that the total value you place on your safety and security? A thank you for your service? Then you're on your way. Veterans are not your social media influencers, nor do they want to be put on a pedestal. They aren't pounding at your door asking for your time and attention, but you owe everything that you have to them. The reason that you don't have drones firing missiles at you and your neighbors is because of their sacrifices. The reason why we don't have regular terrorist attacks is because of their service. The reason that you don't have to stand up for your own country and fight for your own rights is because there are others that do it. Those same others you protest against when you disagree with their politics. Those same others that you try your best for at least the duration of a few posts in social media to cancel if they happen to say anything at any time in their entire lives that you happen to not agree with. Warlock Jeff Bowling raised the idea to me that we have a warrior class in our American culture, and it seems that we do. They're called Americans, citizens who take their futures and the future of their fellow citizens into their hands. They train, fight, suffer, and die so that you can sit on your ass, binge a few more episodes, and order dinner to be delivered for a modest fee. They understand what sacrifice means deep in the marrow of their bones, while you worry about the lack of attention your comment or photo received. Veterans know what it means to appreciate what they have because they have to live without it. Veterans know what it means to love and respect because they've lost their brothers and sisters in arms whom they loved and respected. So before you jump to make your post celebrating veterans, before you tell someone thank you for your service, ask yourself this. Do you deserve the right to be acknowledged by these men and women of substance? Does a sheep thank its shepherd? Do they thank the guard dogs that keep them safe from the coyote? If you have never served your country, do you deserve the right to be called a citizen by it? Unfortunately, the answer continues to be yes. So make yourself feel better for acknowledging those of real substance for a day. Feel good about your pathetic leech life existence for another 12 waking hours. But, perhaps, you could do just a little more. Perhaps you could acknowledge veterans not with a post or a thank you, but by your service. There are a number of ways you can actually serve those who have your back, both active and prior service veterans. You could, at the minimum, donate to veterans organizations, but more appropriately, you could donate your time and attention to veterans in need. There are a number of organizations that you could assist in providing food, shelter, healthcare, and company. It takes only a cursory search to find an organization near you. This is not to say that you need to give of yourself because of some greater good or a debt that society is expecting of you. This is for your own benefit. It doesn't take a leap in logic to understand that ensuring those that protect you have support actually helps you in the long run. It also shows that you aren't the leech that so many others are. Give yourself a reason to look in your own reflection with pride and respect. Show that you are thankful before you say it. To my brothers and sisters in arms, to the Infernal Legion, and to its leadership, I see you. I thank you. Hail Satan.
Hey, this is retired Sergeant First Class Dave Bradford, and I just wanted to give a shout out to my brothers and sisters in arms and say thank you for the sacrifices that you made in your time of service. Hail yourselves, and hail Satan.
Welcome back to the official Infernal Legion podcast, and today is Veterans Day, so less than a week ago, we had an election. There is now a veteran as the vice president-elect. Last episode we recorded of this show, there was a bunch of technical issues, so it didn't get uploaded, but we discussed the claims of stolen valor when it comes to Governor Tim Walz, and basically why those claims don't really pass the mustard. But I had said in that episode, which no one will ever hear, that no matter what happens at the election, we're going to have a veteran sitting in the second highest chair in the country. And we do. We have a combat veteran. J.D. Vance is the vice president-elect. He was a Marine combat correspondent, I believe, and did some time in Iraq. So it remains to be seen what effect that will have. But for anything that needs to be done for veterans, it ultimately has to go through Congress. It has to.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that, and it wouldn't have mattered if it was Tim Walz or J.D. Vance, having a veteran be the guy sitting at the head of the Senate could potentially be a net positive for veterans. Potentially. Now, there's a lot of veterans in Congress already who do a lot of stupid things. So who knows where that's going to go.
Hopefully it's overlining.
Hopefully, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Underworld Amusements. Since 2007, Underworld Amusements has been creating, producing, publishing, and distributing curious sundries and callous broadsides. From the Satanic Scriptures by Magus Peter H. Gilmore to Might Is Right, the authoritative edition by Ragnar Redbeard, Underworld Amusements is your source for the most dangerous books ever written. Visit underworldamusements.com for more information.
With an election, with a new president-elect, means that things are going to change. Things are going to change in the country, specifically when it comes to the military, how the military is used, how it's handled, and how veterans are treated after the fact. With Donald Trump, the president-elect, we have 4 years of a presidency to look at and say, okay, how did this work before? Now it's going to be different again this time around. He's got different people around him. He's got a different society. So his policies may not be the same as they were the first time around, but we do have that to look at as a kind of example of what veterans issues and military issues might look like under a Trump presidency. There's a lot to unpack here, and I don't want to just sit here and monologue about it the whole time. So let's talk about it, guys. We have a new president-elect and a veteran as the vice president-elect. What do you guys think we're dealing with? What does the future look like?
Chaos.
Chaos.
No, seriously, I think it's going to be chaos.
I do too.
Why do you think that?
Basically, because before he didn't have people that were yes men, and now he's going to have people that are going to agree with him all the time. Because if you notice, all the people that did not agree with him turned on him. So it's going to be very chaotic for the first 2 years, I believe, for veterans and the military.
Especially for, I think you're probably right, especially with the military, because we do have a chaotic doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing either.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's going to be chaotic.
We have a for lot the first going 2 years. On around the world right now with Israel and the Middle East in general. And with Ukraine and Russia, that's still happening. And Trump has said numerous times that these things wouldn't have happened if he had been president. So he's going to have to, whether that's accurate or not, he's going to have to address these things. And the military is going to be involved in the way that's addressed. And then we additionally have the crisis at the border.
Yeah.
And they have floated the idea, especially Trump's campaign has floated the idea of using the military in a more active role to deal with that. So I think you're right. The first couple of years are going to be pretty chaotic, especially for those currently serving.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans may be a different story. When Trump was in office the first time, he set up this program, basically. I don't know what its status is now, but it was a hotline that you could call if you were having trouble dealing with the VA. And the call center was manned by veterans who were trained to deal with VA things. And I found myself in a position where my VA disability benefits had gotten screwed up between them. And it was right around the start of COVID. Between college, which I was just finishing up, and my disability benefits, some things got mixed up and they basically didn't pay me for like 3 months. And at the time, I really needed that money just to live. And I was just smacking my head against a brick wall. And I stumbled across this hotline that Trump had set up. And I said, why not? I'll give it a shot. And I called him up, and in less than 24 hours, everything was fixed. Now, obviously, I didn't call President Trump, and he fixed everything. But it was something he set up. And I think that if he does more stuff like that, it could be a very positive time for veterans. But will he do stuff like that?
That's the question.
I'm not really sure.
Who knows?
There's something in it for him.
That's what my point is what is he going to get out of it?
Right.
You know,
I hate to sound so grim about it and so negative, but that's what it boils down to is what is he going to get out of it?
And my perspective, okay, I'm an independent. I'm not Democrat, not Republican.
Right.
And I call it down the middle. It's what can you do for him? And he wanted to, you know, because you remember the time that he wanted that photo op in front of that church. He was going to use the military to clear it out.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not what the military is for.
Right. Yeah, he definitely did, especially during the chaotic times of 2020, floated the idea of using the military for a lot of
BS.
Things the military should not be used for. Let's put it that way. We have the Posse Comitatus Act for a reason. And it has been talked about within his party of essentially doing things that would do away with that act and using the military to help civilian law enforcement more so than they already do. And I take issues with that. Big time issues, probably because of my personal political leanings, which are also not Democrat or Republican. But I'm not a big fan of using the military to enforce laws on the civilian populace. I think that's one of the things that makes our country different from the rest of the world. And I would like to see that maintained, that we don't use the military in that fashion. But President Trump has a long history of floating ideas that never come to fruition, too. So is it real or is it just bluster? I guess that remains to be seen as well.
Well, my whole thing is basically you got people saying, well, what he said was a joke, or you're taking them out of context.
Mm-hmm.
That's the chaos that I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
Is he joking
yeah.
or is he being serious?
Right. The very fact that we're wondering if this is going to be a thing or not alludes to the chaos you were talking about. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I went to bed, not caring, got up, saw that he won. Okay. Where's the chaos going to be?
Right. It's going to happen one way or the other, right?
It's going to happen.
Now, and this got brought up in the private chat amongst Legionnaires. We have spaces where Legionnaires can chat privately. So I'm not going to out anybody here, but this did get brought up, the idea of using the military at the border. And it's been a talking point that Trump has used. I kind of want to see what you guys feel about this. Because, I mean, so there's some undeniable facts here. The undeniable facts, we do have a crisis at the southern border. There's a lot of people pouring over. It's documented fact at this point. There's a lot of people coming in illegally, and not all of them are hardworking people who just want a better life for themselves. And it's causing a lot of problems. I don't know if it's policy or resources or whatever the case may be, but the law enforcement who's tasked with handling that, specifically the Customs and Border Protection and the Immigration and Naturalization Service, are having a hard time dealing with it. So the idea has been floated about sending the military. And I don't mean activating the National Guard and letting them set up barricades, but actually posting the military at the border. And as much as I just said, I don't like the idea of using the military against the civilian populace, that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about using the military to secure the borders of the country.
The northern border is actually starting to get more people coming across illegally than the southern border is.
Yeah,
you never hear about the northern border.
That the majority of the 9/11 terrorists who attacked
came in through Canada.
Yeah, came in through Canada. I think 17 of the 19 of them did.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem that I don't think has ever been actually addressed. But there's a lot about 9/11 that wasn't addressed, isn't there?
Yeah.
Unlike using them to back up civilian law enforcement, I don't think it would be a violation of posse comitatus or leave such a bad taste in my mouth if you using troops to beef up border security at the border. And their entire focus was on people crossing the border, not on what Americans are doing behind them.
Yeah.
What do you think, Raul? You live in a border city. You have probably an upfront look at immigration more than any of us. What do you think about using the military to beef up border security?
In the last couple of years, being a Lyft driver, I've given a lot of rides to Army National Guard guys that have been here for that security purpose. Most of them don't want to be here.
Oh, yeah. I bet it's shit duty.
You know, we'd rather be, I don't know, I'll speak for myself. I'd rather be overseas rather than just here upholding a wall and securing the wall. The thing about this situation is there's so much going on underground, literally underground.
Yeah. And yeah.
Tunnels. And
that was going on before the wall was even conceived.
Even before that wall was conceived. And it's just, it's ridiculous, man. I'm not for it. We can use private security. Security that's 10 times better trained and better equipped than our American military.
Well, my old mercenary heart certainly swells at the idea of using private security contractors.
That's another trend. Cool. If we're going to use mercenaries overseas, why not use them here in the States?
Yeah, you could get around the posse comitatus that way, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to consider there. And there's a lot to consider with Trump coming back for a second term as president.
Which is he's only the second president to ever do that.
Yeah, and the first one in 130 years.
Yeah, Grover Cleveland was the first one.
There's one thing. Love the man, hate the man, ambivalent towards the man. There's one thing that nobody can deny about Donald Trump. That man makes history every time he touches the White House. Is it good history? I don't know.
that's going to be up for historians to write.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by the Warlock Emporium. The Warlock Emporium is creating bespoke items for the chosen few. The Warlock Emporium is the only authorized seller of items bearing the Warlock Sigil, created by Magister Dr. Robert Johnson, author of The Satanic Warlock. The Warlock Emporium is now offering a 15% military discount. Visit thewarlockemporium.com for more information.
So one thing I think is pretty sure is we're going to keep playing accordion with this Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah. Right?
Because if everyone remembers, we were in it. Obama's the one that signed it. And then Trump came in and got rid of it. And then Biden came in and it was back on the table. I don't know if it was signed or not, but it was back on the table. Now with Trump back in it, it's going to be gone again.
Yeah, that is.
And I honestly, this is my own failure. I haven't looked into it enough to really know what the specifics are. But I know that it involves either not letting or controlling the way Iran uses nuclear material so that they don't get a nuclear weapon. Now, with the current state of things in the Middle East, everyone knows that Donald Trump is a pretty pro-Israel guy. And I think on election night, it was actually Benjamin Netanyahu who was the first person to congratulate him. Donald Trump has a long history. Back during his first term, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, little things like that. I think it's unavoidable that however he decides to tackle these issues, Ukraine and Israel, it's going to involve U.S. boots on the ground.
Yeah, I see that coming.
Yeah. To what extent, I guess, will greatly determine how I feel about that. We already have boots on the ground in Ukraine. That's not common knowledge, but they're more in an advisory role. But there are U.S. troops in Ukraine and around Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We have a base in Israel, so we have U.S. troops in Israel.
Yeah.
But so far, in both of these conflicts, we've avoided any direct interaction. One of Trump's big claims is that there will be no new wars under him, that he's going to end wars. He could. I mean, look, I'll give everyone listening my personal take on this. If he wants to end the war, easy solution to that, just close the base and bring everybody home.
Yep.
And I'd be all for that. Is that what he's going to do? Probably not.
He's probably going to send more troops to Israel and stop sending weapons to Ukraine. We'll see.
But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting 4 years. I think there's the potential for this to be a net positive for veterans, but maybe a negative for active military.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an interesting, I don't think we've ever kind of seen that situation before where veterans are doing better than people in the military in terms of benefits and stuff. That may not be the way it shakes up, but I see the potential for that.
It would be very beneficial for him to not distance himself from veterans, because I know a lot of veterans who wore pro-Trump stuff. Mm-hmm. One guy that I know had a good, bad, and ugly shirt, and the good was Trump, the bad was Biden, and the ugly was Harris. You know, what? So, and you know, that's fine. You know, that's that guy's opinion. He's a veteran, and I respect him for that.
The way veterans are with each other is very similar to the way the Church of Satan is, right? When you think about it, we're very much a meta tribe, us veterans. Everyone, there's people from all kinds of backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, religious backgrounds, types of sexuality. There's all types of people in there, and we all work together when we need to, respect each other, mm-hmm. support each other, fight. Sometimes we fight, but we all get along. And if you just don't like another veteran,
you just don't associate with them.
Yeah, you tend to not associate with them, which is one of the reasons I was very upset during this election cycle with the campaigning that was happening.
Yeah, well, the stolen valor shit shit, you know. I mean, even Walz's last command sat there and said, no, he earned that rank.
Yeah.
So.
And it doesn't, like, you know, stolen. We use the term stolen valor in a kind of flippant manner, but there is an actual law for stolen valor. So, I mean, just look at the law, and does anything that he did fit that bill? No? Okay.
No.
It's not stolen valor. You know?
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people were saying. They're like, JD, that's not stolen valor. And JD didn't, he still doubled down on it. So
I do think that JD Vance, from what I've seen of his interviews and stuff, I think he has what I call the combat veteran mentality. And Raul knows that it's different from a regular veteran's mentality.
Yeah.
And so he kind of has that kind of mentality where it's like, okay, well, Walz was National Guard. Yeah, it was 35 years, but he was National Guard. and he never deployed. He's not a real vet. And I think that's a poor mentality for veterans to have, but it is pretty rampant amongst combat veterans.
Yeah, I know. Well, you got to remember, I'm a combat vet, you're a combat vet, combat vet, you know. And when I heard that, you know, Walls was a veteran, that's all that mattered to me.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance is a veteran. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah. It will remain to be seen, but the things we know for sure, we do have a veteran sitting at the essentially the head of the Senate. And the next four years are going to be interesting.
Can you imagine if only a veteran could be president, how much more smaller that pool would be?
That would be sweet.
I was actually talking about this. I personally am not a fan of democracy. But if we're going to have a democracy and it's going to actually work, I think it has to be in a republic form, much like what we have here in the United States. And even then, there's no guarantee it's going to work. But B, you have to have a kind of aristocratic voting class, as it were. And what determines who can vote has to be something you seriously consider. When the United States was first founded, it was just white male landowners were the only ones allowed to vote. Now, is that the solution? I don't think so. But Robert Heinlein, in the book Starship Troopers, proposed a very interesting model where the only people allowed to vote and hold office were those who had served a military command.
Before you even mention Starship Troopers.
It's an interesting model for society. Now, is
it is.
Would it work? I don't know. But I think there's something there to be explored, and the idea that if you do some kind of public service, therefore you've proven that you have
the right to vote. That would be, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. I also, for you to run for office,
you should have
served at least 2 years in the military.
And that model allows for people to just not do it, right? You can just be a civilian. You can just say, oh, I'm not going to do that, and so I'm not going to vote, but I still get to live in the republic, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I think separates that from, say, like a conscription style model.
Yeah.
Where everyone has to serve, and then everyone gets to vote. Because let's just face it, people are stupid, and democracy reflects that all the time.
Well, another Carlin joke right there.
Right.
You know? There's more dumb people out there, and they're dumber every day.
Herd mentality.
Yeah.
Exactly. Herd mentality.
Well, all right, gentlemen. That was a hell of a discussion. Thank you guys for joining me, man. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you.
For everyone listening, join us next time right here on the official Infernal Legion podcast on Radio Free Satan. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
There is a new veteran crisis hotline number. If you or a veteran you know are experiencing a crisis, please dial 988 and press 1. Once again, that is 988 and press 1 when prompted.